thank God. Our Gentile of the Week is Ed Gaskin. We were connected to him by friend of the podcast, Barry Weiss, and she said, you have to speak to this guy. So, Ed, hello, welcome.
Thank you.
So, you're a devout Christian, you've taught seminary students, you've written about the church and all manners of modern life, and then you recently started attending Shabbat services. How did that come about?
So what happened was, is that after the Tree of Life shooting, I felt that was so horrific that I felt like I needed to do something to identify with the Jewish community. And I went to the service, and I had never actually, had only been to an actual Shabbat service once in my life. And so I sort of, you know, I went by myself and I didn't know anybody there. And I was sort of almost like somewhat nervous. And so I just sat in the very back row by myself because I had heard in some temples that some of the members owned seats, whatever. And I didn't want to sit in anybody's seat. And so I just sort of wanted to sit there quietly and be in solidarity with the community. And I contrast that to when I went to the Charlottesville March. I was like one of 40,000 people. And I said, well, you know, I don't do a lot of marches, but it was a nice day and I didn't have anything on my schedule. So off I went.
This was the Charlottesville counter march, right?
Yep. That was the counter march to what happened in Charlottesville when that same group came to Boston.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, so there I was. I went to the Shabbat service and I sat there. And at the end of it, it dawned on me. I said, geez, I don't remember saying anything or praying anything or hearing anything sung or preached that I, as a Christian, don't agree to. And so I was like, the light bulb went off. I said, that's interesting. And then I said, but, you know, having gone to church all my life, I said, you can't judge something from just one service. So I came back the next week. And I just did that for the next 52 weeks. I think it was my first year. I made it to 50 of the 52 Shabbat services. I still go every Friday. I went to all the high holy days and Passover and everything else.
Which you realize is more than saying 93% of American Jews.
Well, I hear that all the time, but I love the experience. So there I am. In fact, I've been an evangelist. I've been trying to get my Jewish friends to go, and they don't want any part of it. They're like, no, once our kids got bar mitzvahed, we stopped going. Or my one friend said, Ed, going to Shabbat is a lot of work for a free glass of wine.
So before we get down to the substance, I really want to talk about the style. So as a church-going man, you're sitting there and you're starting to get the vibe of what a Shabbat service is like. How is it like church and how is it completely different?
Well, church obviously is very, that's a very broad, right? So you can have like a very liturgical church, let's say like a Catholic, Episcopalian, whatever, or you might have something like a Quaker church. So it's more like churches that follow a liturgy. For me, besides having gone to seminary, I also studied world religions. And so it was easy for me to understand the liturgy, what was being accomplished. So you understand that, you know, the beginning of the service, the middle of the service, the end of the service. And so in all those ways, it's almost parallel. You know, it's like you have an opening, you have an ending, and you sort of understand the stuff and the sequence of stuff that's in between.
This is all at Congregation Beth Elohim in Boston. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And so when do people start realizing, like, you're really there for this? This guy who sits in the back row keeps coming back. Like, do they introduce themselves? How do you start interacting with the other fellow synagogue goers?
That happened almost immediately because, you know, people kept inviting, you know, like, I remember one, probably my second or third time there, I was sitting there in the back on my little bench. And somebody had come up to me. I could see them coming out of the corner of my eyes, and I was really worried because I had gotten to service early, and I was on my smartphone. And I said, "Oh my God, I'm in trouble. I'm like working on the Sabbath, and it's in the temple. On top of it, I'm probably going to get like reprimanded or something." And this woman just came over to invite me to sit with her and her family. But that was so consistent. And then the rabbi, you know, he'd always say to me, you know, after service, "Oh, we have to get together. We have to talk." And I didn't really take him seriously because I figured, you know, he's got 1,300 families in the congregation to worry about, not some strange person that's not a member. Until I got an email from him that invited me to lunch. And so we went. So I just found that the community was very welcoming. And people always asked me if I was a member. And they didn't ask it like in an offensive way. They almost asked it in more like an apologetic, embarrassed way. Like, are you a member? Because, you know, this place is so large, I wouldn't know if you were or you weren't. And I always took that in a very positive way, that if they asked me if I was a member, it means I could have been a member if I wanted to be. So I just really loved the encouragement and the fellowship from my fellow congregants.
So I imagine your weekends always sort of include a synagogue service and a church service. Break down, what does your weekend look like?
As you know, like in a lot of Christians, some people might go to just Easter and Christmas or something. And some people, some percentage of people go, you know, once a week on Sunday. And then there's some people who go maybe like twice a week, right? They might go to a Wednesday Bible study. They might go to a Friday or a midweek prayer meeting and Sunday. And so in my case, you know, I typically go to church on Sunday. And so for me, going to the Shabbat service on Friday is sort of like my equivalent to going to prayer meeting or Bible study. So I get to go twice a week. I go to Shabbat on Friday. I go to church on Sunday. I feel like I've got the best of the both worlds because I got my Hebrew Old Testament rabbinical teaching on Friday and my New Testament Christian teaching on Sunday.
And Saturday is like college football?
So I feel like I have it like very, it's very compatible to me. So I tried to argue that I wanted to be both Christian and Jewish. And I said, it's just like people have two passports. They have a U.S. passport. They have another passport. They have dual citizenships. So I said, I don't understand why I can't be both and as opposed to either or.
So do you find that this year of a visit changed, informed, deepened your own faith?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, again, I think I can see beyond the specific rituals and understand some of like the meanings behind them. So I would say, first of all, most Protestant ministers, preachers aren't that good in Hebrew. So I get to get like my little Hebrew teaching or the Torah study where the rabbis, I assume most of them all know Hebrew. So I get a little Hebrew teaching there that I probably wouldn't get. And then I remember going the week of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, all those days and all those services, I can't even pronounce them all, but like I had the one where you throw the stuff in the river and it washes away.
The Tashlich.
You know, like all those are very meaningful if you understand what's the thought behind it. So for me, it's like trying to understand the thought behind that religious expression in the same way, like if I went, I'm not Catholic, but if I went to a Catholic church and I understood about praying the Stations of the Cross, you know, like what was the thought behind it? What's the intent? And using that as an opportunity to pray and worship God.
You seem to be so open to sort of all sorts of informed religious ritual. And I'm wondering, are there things you hear in one, like are there ways in which these two practices are just fundamentally incompatible to you?
I won't name names, but I did have somebody who asked me the question. They said, well, you can't be both Christian and Jewish. You know, there's too many exclusive claims in Christianity about Jesus being the only way and whatever. And so I said, you know, as a Christian, I have to believe that we have, that God is sovereign and we believe in free will. I said, I have to believe that Jesus is, that God is in three persons, but he's one person, that he's both human and divine, that this virgin gave birth to a person who's both son of man and son of God. I said, so I live with paradoxes and contradictions all the time as part of the faith. So it's not an issue for me to believe that Jesus is the only way and Jesus is not the only way.
This is like a sort of like a trinity, like a duality. In which it's both the way and not the only way.
It's not my job to figure these things out. Huh. So I always say, I don't think that God is going to let somebody into heaven that shouldn't be there, nor will he exclude somebody that should be there. So I think that's a higher pay grade. Somebody else will figure those things out. I'm just trying to focus on myself in terms of, I figure the more times I can be in the house of faith or the house of worship and praying and worshiping, probably that's good for me because that means I'm not someplace else that I probably shouldn't be.
Hallelujah. Now, would you recommend this as a wide practice for both, you know, Christians, Muslims, and Jews to just make a habit of regularly attending each other's services?
I would, but let me explain why. So for instance, I think it's brought me a much better understanding of anti-Semitism. And so when I'm talking to the rabbi or other congregants, and I'm thinking, what would I do if somebody came through these doors right now and started shooting, or just talking to the rabbi about, you know, that we have to have a guard, do we have a guard with a gun or whatever? I've never been in any other houses of worship where that was such a reality. And that now I think sort of almost experientially or existentially, like for instance, I was at a service one time, the fire alarm went off and I said, oh, is it going off because there's a shooter in the building? So now I have like just a smidgen of understanding of just that terror or fear of saying, geez, if I go to worship, maybe I'm in the process of being a martyr because I've made this stand. And so it's sort of like being in somebody else's shoes. It helps a deeper understanding. I also think that when I heard some of the comments or lectures, whatever, let's say from the ADL, it's different having been at the temple because the context is different. And what I mean by that is I had kind of thought that the people who were anti-Semitic were more of your Confederate flag, shotgun, pickup, truck driving kind of people, not your Harvard graduate owning two or three homes and, you know, country club members. And so I was like, why is there's anti-Semitism out in the suburbs? Like, that doesn't even make any sense to me. Like, what do they have to be upset about? But I'm just saying part of that experience is you start understanding things in a way that's much different than you would if you just heard a lecture someplace.
Well, it's really interesting because you taught a seminary class for a really long time. It was called Christianity and the Problem of Racism, right? So this is something you've actually been thinking about for quite some time, the idea of prejudice and hate and how it functions within religious communities and around religious communities.
So that is true. But I think for myself, what I had to realize is I had a very shallow understanding of anti-Semitism. If I was going to teach the class again today, I would probably teach that section very different. I remember, for instance, historically, I thought of anti-Semitism as just, it's discrimination. And there's all different kinds of ways and shapes and forms of discrimination. And in its most extreme form, it ends in genocide, as in something like the Holocaust. I don't think I had understood or appreciate maybe the depth and breadth of it. And now I feel, like I said, if I was doing that again, I would do it much differently. And part of my motivation, I don't know if I had said that, was I had felt when the Tree of Life happened that I remembered when the St. Louis and not letting the passengers disembark. And I felt that was one of the most horrific things that had happened. And then the question is, well, what is it that you do? So I felt that as a witness in history that I wanted to do something. And so that's why I went to the service the first time. With this recent sort of spike in anti-Semitism, I'm now trying to organize and plan a worship service in March. And my thought is that just as the Jewish community has always been there for the Black community, like in the Civil Rights Movement and beyond, I'd like the Black community to be behind the Jewish community as they go through this peak of anti-Semitism.
Man, God bless you.
That is amazing. Ed Gaskin, thank you so much. And thank you for being such a thoughtful and active ally for our community. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mazel tovs. Liel, have you a mazel tov this week?
I have a very